Welcome, everyone, to part two of the Baseball America College Podcast, along with Aaron Fitt. I am John Manuel. The Baseball America College Podcast is brought to you by Project Lomo. That's projectlomo.mlblogs.com. We've done the read all spring, and all the details are there at projectlomo.mlblogs.com. It's a great cause, as Logan Morrison of the Miami Marlins works with the American Lung Association to try to raise money to fight lung cancer after losing his father to lung cancer in 2010. So we've also got eight more regionals to get into. So, Aaron, we need to get a move on since we took a little bit too long the first part of the podcast.
We'll have to apologize if we give any of these guys short shrift, but there's only so many hours in the day, so we gotta have to make it up a little bit here.
We gotta tighten it up. So we're not gonna talk. I think the way to tighten this up is not to talk as much about the favorites, which
you're right.
I think you tried to egg me on in that direction in the first half of the podcast. But I think the favorites are who we're not gonna talk as much about. So let's go to the Nashville Regional, Aaron. We did the left half of the bracket. Let's go to the right side of the bracket to Nashville. Pardon me. Vanderbilt is our one seed. Georgia Tech, the two. Illinois, the three. East Tennessee State, the four. And my thumbnail sketch of this regional is there's not a whole lot of Omaha history in this on this side of the bracket. Even Georgia Tech has only made, what, three trips?
That's right.
Vanderbilt's made one. East Tennessee State making its first regional trip since 81. Illinois is not one of the Big Ten teams that won them back in the day, you know, like Michigan did or Minnesota, that kind of thing. Ohio State all have national championships. This is a relative newbie pod, and not on the here on the podcast. This regional is a bunch of relative newbies, but they've all had some recent success. East Tennessee's had some good teams lately. You had Illinois that came out to Fullerton and threw a scare in the Titans a few years ago in a regional. They still have a couple of seniors from that club. Georgia Tech has been a college baseball power and is a really deep and, at times, explosive offense.
Yep.
It's a weird regional to me of teams that I don't necessarily ever see play each other in during the season. It just seems like an interesting amalgamation of teams. I guess to you, what you've written is that what stood out to you was that 1-4 matchup. Clint Freeman and Kerry Doan and the Bucks of East Tennessee State going up against Vanderbilt, the number two overall seed.
Right, and you know, like you said, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about Vanderbilt.
Right.
We'll talk about them ad nauseum probably this year, but I mean, they're really good, and they're the team to beat in this regional. They're going to win this regional, I'm going to say.
I'm with you.
But you know, that's not an easy draw for me. I mean, I said it the other day in the podcast. You know, I think Vanderbilt had the best season in college baseball this year, and they got they did not get rewarded for that with this draw because they got a, you know, if you even just compare it with North Carolina, I mean, Georgia Tech is a really dangerous two seed. I think Illinois is a solid three seed that's very athletic and, you know, can score some runs. And then East Tennessee State is a dangerous four, especially in that first game with Kerry Doan, really competitive guy, a senior, been around, and got, you know, 12 complete games this year, got a good fastball, a good slider, really competes. And then, you know, behind him, in case he doesn't go the distance, well, you know, I guess maybe in the rest of the regional, I guess the thing that helps them is their bullpen. You know, Clinton Freeman, a quality left-hander, you know, can run that thing up to 90 and knows how to pitch. His command's got a lot better this year, really pounds the strike zone. And the same with Will Chesney, the submariner, sidearm kind of right-hander. You know, those two guys give them a really good duo in the bullpen. And then they got some depth. They can mix and match a little bit here. You know, Freeman, of course, also the centerpiece of that lineup, which is you know, they have a little bit of power here. I mean, this is – you know, what, four or five guys here that have a few home runs. I mean,
these are not the Paul Hoyleman Bucks, though.
That's
the thing is this team in the last couple of years, and that's the thing that's most impressive to me is that Coach Skoll, and I'm a Tony Skoll fan. I think I've made that clear before. They've been a competitive program the last few years, and this is the interesting thing to me is they've done it with pitching some years, and they've done it with hitting other years. They're not just one note. I think that's a sign of a good coach. And, you know, in the past, their teams were notable for having a lot of power and guys who struck out a lot and just swung for the fences. And that was even true. That was the first year the BB Corps, was it not?
Yeah. Paul Hoyleman put up huge numbers, I think, in the first year of BB Corps bats. You're absolutely right.
And he had several other guys on that team. He did Bo Reeder, I believe, was a two-way joker on this team.
Absolutely. He was a very good player for them, you know, good closer, and put up some offensive numbers as well.
But Clint Freeman's a more complete player, a more complete hitter, hitting in the Alaska League last summer. This is a good four. Not a great four, but a good four. To me, Illinois, like you said, pretty interesting three. I think your regional preview put it very well. I mean, when I think of this team, I do think of they were very athletic and physical a couple years ago, 3 years ago in that regional in Fullerton. It still seems like that's kind of their trademark as a club this year.
That's right, exactly. The Parr brothers, Justin and Jordan, are really good players.
The brothers 2 and 3, aren't they? Second and third Parrs that come through the program?
I think there was a third one, an older one. Yeah, I'm drawing a blank on the name, but I think that is correct. I love their shortstop, this kid Thomas Lindauer, John. I mean, he's a good player. He's really athletic. He makes it look easy at short. You know, I mean, one play in particular just kind of sticks out in my mind this weekend where he ranges up the middle, makes a great play, you know, just very under control, spin around, and just fires an accurate throw to first base. That guy's a playmaker on defense. He sets the tone at the top of the lineup. He's got pop at the top of the lineup. He's a darn good player. I think he's one of those guys that can be an impact guy this week. And Josh Parr was the older brother, by
Josh
the way.
Josh Parr. There were three Parrs.
Yep.
Up to par in Champaign.
Hey-o.
Yeah, exactly. Georgia Tech, just an odd team. We've talked about them a few times, Aaron. I think that we both thought the big problem with Georgia Tech would be the pitching. You know, would Cole Pitts and Dusty Isaacs make those steps forward? And they really didn't. They're solid, but they're certainly not. I wouldn't call either one of them good.
You can't rely on either one of them. And, in fact, I don't think Cole Pitts will probably start this weekend unless they need a fourth starter. I think Jonathan King's probably supplanted him there.
Right.
I don't know. I was trying to get a feel for what they're going to do with their pitching. And right now, according to those guys, it's still TBA, whether they're going to throw Farmer in that first game or not. For me, I think, if I'm Georgia Tech planning to win the regional, best chance to beat Vanderbilt is with your best guy. I say Buck Farmer. I go with, I guess, Isaacs in the first game. But, then you could lose the first game. But, hey, you got to win three games anyway. I think you take that chance.
And, a lot could be different for Georgia Tech if they had Matt Grimes, but they don't.
Absolutely.
Matt Grimes is an unsigned fourth-round pick at a high school who had Tommy John this year. I mean, they've basically missed him for a year and a half. That's a tough break. But, Georgia Tech's in Georgia. There's Hope scholarships. I don't think anyone's crying for Georgia Tech lack of depth. They had a top 100 high school prospect from 3 years ago, DeAndre Smelter, who just completely fell apart and is now on the football team. So
that's right.
They had some attrition, but it's surprising and disappointing to see that their pitching didn't get a ton better this year. I think some individual guys did, but I shudder to think where they'd be on the mound without Buck Farmer, without getting a senior back. I didn't expect to get. We're both picking Vanderbilt here, correct?
Oh, yeah.
But
I think it's a competitive field. It should be an entertaining regional, but Vanderbilt's a juggernaut. We're taking Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt is, I believe that's a fair word to use for them, a juggernaut. Let's move on now to the other regional that is paired with this in the super regional. You would have Louisville, the number one seed, Miami of Florida, the number two, Oklahoma State, the number three, Bowling Green, the number four. They want to be called Bowling Green, not Bowling Green State, correct?
That's right.
Okay. Let's make sure we get that right. heaven forfend that we...
We can call them Bowling Green State University, or we can call them Bowling Green. We just can't call them Bowling Green State whatever.
Exactly. Whatever indeed. Aaron,
and it's the same thing with LSU, by the way, that you can call them Louisiana State University or LSU, just not Louisiana State. I'm tired of this branding crap. I'm going on a lingo rant here. That stuff's nonsense. We'll call you whatever we want to call you, and you'll like it.
We have a consistent method that we use so that all of our readers can identify and figure out what we're talking about, whether we're talking about a university or a high school. And that's our convention that we use, and we don't really give a darn about your branding proposal. And I've read some of these branding initiatives, and they're bunk. And sports information people can – I know they're just doing their due diligence, and they're doing their jobs, and we're going to do ours. So – Central Florida, Central Florida, not UCF, TCU, all of them.
Second reference, we'll use that stuff, but first
reference,
just let us do our thing here. We got style rules.
Exactly, and Aaron Fitt loves his style rules.
Oh, you know it.
And I love to mangle them, apparently. So, anyway, I think I know them. Aaron, our style is to say Louisville, not Louisville. But Oklahoma State, Miami, and the 80s or 90s, those two teams would have been the favorites and the heavy favorites to win this regional. Not the case right now. I really don't see any of these teams knocking off Louisville. Those Oklahoma State, Miami, and Bowling Green, the talent gap between those three teams and Louisville feels like it's pretty significant.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. I mean, this, you know, this is not a very offensive regional. Louisville is clearly the best offense here. And they're not a powerful lineup, but they're a very good offense because of, it's just a complete offense. It's very experienced. They got a ton of speed, put a lot of pressure on you. Miami's a bad offense.
Bad offense.
That's it. They're hitting .260 as a team. Where they got 12 home runs as a team. That's a bad offense. They don't have one 300 hitter. There's one guy in the lineup that kind of scares you a little bit. That's David Thompson, and that's it.
Right.
They have good pitching, and that pitching makes them competitive. You know, there's those left-handers. Radzewski and Suarez, who's, you know, still kind of not 100%. I mean, he's still coming back from Tommy John surgery. He's had a good year, all things considered, but
right.
Not what he will be, I think, in another year. And of course, Chris Diaz, those guys are very good. Really like their closer, Nedeljkovic. But, they need to win a 2-1 game here. And that's I don't know if they can score a lot against Jason Hirsch in that first game.
I'll tell you one thing, one glimmer of hope for the Canes. And I don't know if it was because the scouts were there or not, but at the ACC tournament, I saw them play Clemson. And Dale Carey actually had a good game.
Mm.
And Dale Carey is back over 200 now. Looks like he's back in the lineup. That's a guy they expected a lot out of. And moreover, that's a guy where they need to steal some runs. They need to manufacture some runs. And outside of Tyler Palmer and Chance Mack, they don't really have anybody else who runs. So they really need Dale Carey in the lineup. And I saw him manufacture run all by himself. I saw him hit a line drive to outfield, and then there was a stolen base that went crazy, and a ball got thrown in the outfield, and he wound up coming all the way home. So, you know, it's possible. You know, the talent's supposed to be there for Dale Carey. I've talked to a lot of scouts who weren't believers, but there are scouts who were believers. So his development and his improvement, if he could continue that, that would make them a little bit more dangerous team. That would give me the idea that they can compete a little bit more in this regional, but they still just aren't offensive enough. And at the beginning of the year, Coach Morris said, you know, they were maybe two recruiting classes away from being what they used to be.
Wow.
And that's just a stunning admission, I think, for a coach in his early 60s, and now he's had this bout with pneumonia. And I definitely wish Jim well. I've had my ups and downs with Jim Morris over the years at Miami. I love imitating him. It's one of my go-to imitations. I love talking about the University of Miami, Jim Morris. You know, walk my baby with Nomar Garciaparra at South Point Mall earlier today. I mean, I just love my Jim Morris impersonation. I want Jim Morris on the scene so I can do my imitation more. I would love the U to be back, but this team has just been panned by too many people, and it's just surprising. This is a program that feels like a lot of other private schools that is trending in the wrong direction. Whereas Oklahoma State, Aaron, mm-hmm. I think we feel like them making regionals is a very nice.
Yeah.
Cherry on the top of a season where this program is starting to come back, where I'm not blaming Frank Anderson. They had some real challenges, and Frank wasn't able to get things done there. He's a great pitching coach. He did a nice job this year. Where was he the pitching coach again this year?
Houston.
Did a nice job. But this is a star-studded coaching staff at Oklahoma State. They're spending money on baseball. It feels like, again, in the 80s and 90s, those two teams were staples in Omaha. Feels like Oklahoma State could be a staple again before Miami.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
John, I think you're right about that. It sounds crazy, but it's Miami we're talking about. I mean,
right.
But you're right. I just like the direction that this program is trending. I have so much faith in those coaches, and this year was very encouraging for them. And just from a short-term perspective here, this matchup, I think Oklahoma State matches up well against Miami. I think there's a lot of, you know, we talk about how left-handed Miami is on the mound. There's a lot of good right-handed bats in this Oklahoma State lineup. I mean, Zach Fish and, the Robbie Ray and you know, Tanner Creedmeyer is a switch hitter. So they're not very left-handed, which is good for them here. And I think they're better offense. I mean, even though it's not like a bunch of superstars in their lineup, it's guys that grind out at bats and give you more competitive at-bats than Miami has gotten from its guys. So I think, yes, I think to answer your other question, I agree that the direction for this Oklahoma State program is a little brighter right now, the outlook, and I think that they probably will win this first game as well.
And Bowling Green, I got nothing on Bowling Green except for the fact that they're it's a good story. They beat Buffalo in a walk-off on the last day of the regular season just to earn a spot in the MAC tournament.
Yeah.
Then their closer comes back on pitched one inning the day before the title game, starts the title game, and winds up giving them nine innings, which is amazing. And
yeah, exactly right. Well, yeah, I mean, probably not, but he's a senior, and this is probably the end of the road for him, Nick Bruins. But, you know, this team is it's a great story, but, I mean, you know, come on, they're fielding 950. I mean, they're,
wow.
You know, I mean, it's just, it's a great story, but, I mean, this team is below 500, and they're going to be overmatched, I think, in this field.
They're playing with house money. Louisville.
They are.
We are predicting Louisville as the champion of this region.
We are, and you know, I would, you know how high I've been on this Louisville team all year long. I think they outscored everybody in the fit matrix in the preseason. You know, we ranked them number four, and I thought they'd be an Omaha team, and I'm disappointed that they're matched up with Vanderbilt in the next round because I don't know. I mean, they could beat Vanderbilt, but I feel like both those teams are Omaha teams, and I'm sad that only one of them is going to get there because I'd like to see them both at Omaha.
I'll tell you, Aaron, I think that they're a very dangerous matchup for Vanderbilt because Vanderbilt is just not a great offensive team. They've been a good college offensive team, but it's not a great offensive team.
I don't know about that.
I think they're a good offensive team. I don't think they're a great offensive team. They're better with Xander Wheel in the lineup.
What are they? They're, what, ranking the top 20 in the nation in scoring. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, they score runs.
I think outside of Tony Kemp, I don't feel like they have a great offensive player on the rest of that team. He's a great one.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, maybe they don't have the kind of star power that you see in some other lineups, but, I mean, Kemp, you know, I love the experience. That, for me, is what stands out. When you got seniors like Connor Harrell, who's had a big year, Mike Yastrzemski, who had a really good year in SEC play.
He did.
You know, Jack Lupo is a senior that really knows how to execute. I mean, when you got those old guys, that matters. I think the sum is greater than the parts here.
There you go.
The parts are good.
There you go. So I think you just convinced me. Aaron Fitt is the man on college baseball, and that's why. He just showed it to you right there. Aaron, you've seen most of these teams. It feels like you've been to most of these places this year. Didn't you go to Louisville and get snowed out, and then you went to Bloomington, right?
Yeah, I did, and I went to Nashville that weekend as well to start the weekend. So,
see, that's awesome. What a hell of a trip that was.
Great
stuff. And the Bloomington Regional is next. It's the Aaron Fitt April trip regional swing here.
That's
Indiana
right.
The 1, Austin Peay State University number 2, Florida number 3, and Valpo number 4. Aaron, let's start by saying that when you were asked, okay, Mr. Smart Guy who picked Stony Brook last year, who's this year's Stony Brook? Your first answer was Austin Peay. Your second answer, I believe, was St. Louis, correct?
That's right. And I think Sam Houston State was the third team that I threw in that mix.
I think that's right. I think I remember that correctly. And so here are the Govnas. And the Govnas played in a pretty tough league this year. The Ohio Valley, known for its bandbox ballparks. And this is a team that's really offensive, but Aaron, it's also a good defensive team, especially up the middle for an Ohio Valley Conference team. And if Lee Ridenour is healthy, Casey Delgado's decent. They've got some arms. They got a closer in Tyler Rogers, who's an Ironman submarine guy, 21 saves this year.
Mm-hmm.
There's some there with this team. This is a legit two seed.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, they've won 45 games. They've been in regionals now, 3 years in a row. And, you know, they've got power in the lineup. You know, Craig Massoni and of course, Jordan Hankins is just a great all-around player, a great all-around college player
who plays
a good second base, hits for average, hits for power.
Draws a lot of walks.
Has a lot of walks, defends. He's just a really – that's an All-American caliber player, I think. I mean, he'll be in the mix for All-America team at second base.
I agree. I think we all know who our first team is.
Well, that's – yeah, SEC player of the year. I mean, that's a slam dunk.
All 50.
Yeah, no doubt. Cody Hudson, you know, athletic, you know, fast. Reed Harper's a really good veteran, you know, infielder that makes a lot of plays and hits. And, you know, Rolando Gautier is a good athlete. This is a really good lineup. They are very offensive, and they do run, and they do have power, and they do defend. I agree with you. And you know, Lee Ridenour is a difference maker. And Tyler Rogers as well. And they've got some depth. Casey Kemmer's a really good bullpen piece. I mean, this is a good club, John. They're a good two seed, and they're going to get overlooked here. They're going to get overlooked because they're Austin Peay.
Have they not been a regional finalist each of the previous two seasons?
No. I know they were 2 years ago against, Georgia Tech.
I thought they were the last year at Oregon, too.
I think they got screwed a little bit by a bad call and wound up not making that regional final. They were in position to be in the driver's seat, and they got a little bit of a bad break, and it wound up being, Fullerton in Oregon, if I'm not mistaken.
But this is a pretty tough regional because Valpo went to regionals a couple of years ago. Tracy Woodson, another ex-big leaguer, having some success at the college level. Got a couple of them out there. Darren Erstad did a nice job in Nebraska this year.
Yep,
and then you got Florida at 29-28. This is I don't know what Florida team's going to show up here. I think it's a bit of a callow team. I don't say that in a nasty way. I just mean they're just really, really young. Their best player is a guy who's a sophomore who should be a freshman in Taylor Gushue. Even their ace pitcher, Jonathan Crawford, is only in his third season as a full-time pitcher. Only his second year really in a rotation. So even he is a neophyte in terms of his experience compared to a lot of his peers. So this is a very inexperienced, young Florida team that I think picked itself up after a terrible start. I'm not sure I think they should have been a regional team. I'm not sure I would have rewarded them, but they're in. I don't think they could make a fourth straight College World Series trip, though, here. Do you think they have a run like that in them?
No, I really don't. I just think they've already played Indiana head-to-head, and Indiana won 2 out of 3 at their place, and just, you know, looking at the athletes on the field that day, you know, people told me Indiana's, you know, it's that should be Florida. I mean, Florida should be looking like those guys. You expect Florida to be the physical team. And, you know, people are, I feel like, nationally selling Indiana a little bit short because, you know, their first time hosting, and they're the Big Ten.
Is the main thing. I don't think anyone's going to believe in a Big Ten team until they get to Omaha, Aaron. It's going to have to happen. That chicken's going to have to happen before the egg.
Right.
You know, well, is it in the end of the team to do it? I think they are.
I think they very well might be. I mean, as I've talked about, I love how offensive they are, and I do like their pitching. I mean, you know, they've got the best three guys in the rotation in this regional with Aaron Slagers and Joey Donato and Kyle Hart. They've got a good bullpen, you know, especially with Scott Efroth and Kyle Halstead back there. There's two really good 1-2 punch back there. You know, their defense is, yes, it's an Achilles heel, but I think at least you got older guys, you know. I mean, they make errors, sure, but, you know, Dustin Demuth and
Michael Basil,
right, as shortstop. I mean, those guys have been around, you know. So, I mean, I think they're not a great defensive team, obviously, but I think they're good enough. To me,
Aaron, you got to have a separator in today's college baseball with the bats and all these things, and they have one of the separators, which is power. Defense can be a separator, but I think they can overcome it. Also, lucky for them, they don't really have – maybe I'm overgeneralizing here. But I don't see in their regional or in the next round a team that small balls it up, a team that's going to exploit that. Am I correct in that?
You're probably right. I mean, you know, I think Valpo can do that stuff. They can execute a little bit.
I tell you who puts pressure on you, actually. I'm wrong. Florida State, they may not bunt, but they will put pressure on you. If you don't throw strikes, and then if you put the ball – if Florida State puts the ball in play – they will run aggressively on you. They'll go first to third. They will test your outfield. They will pressure your defense by just playing good fundamental baseball. So I'm getting ahead of myself. I've got Indiana winning this regional with that Austin Peay as a very strong two.
I'm with you on that. I think Florida is the third best team this regional, and Valpo is four. But I think these teams are seeded the right way, and I'm also going to take Indiana over Austin Peay.
One other question regarding the Gators. So it's a young team. It's a inexperienced team. They're going to lose Jonathan Crawford and probably Daniel Gibson. They potentially get back Carsten Whitson. I assume he's going to come through the draft after his arm surgery and come back for a redshirt junior season. Is Florida a team that can pick itself up and get back to being an Omaha contender next year? It feels like they have the pieces there to be pretty good, depending on what happens with their freshman class this year.
That's a big key because I mean, you know, I think their talent is a little bit short. I mean, okay. I do like Richie Martin and I like, you know, Casey Turgeon and Gushue and Justin Schaefer.
People seem to like Gushue. You know, Josh Tobias went a little bit backwards this year, I guess, in terms of his performance. But this is, you know, it seems like they do have, again, pretty decent young arms as well.
Yep, they do.
I don't know if I'll get Keenan Kish back next year after his injury or whether he wants to sign, but some of these do have, you know, young guys who could be, you know, pretty competitive next year. It feels like a good team next year.
They've had some injuries this year. Let's not forget. I mean, you know, it's not just Whitson. It's Dump and it's Kish. I mean, they've lost some key pieces on the mound that they were going to count on here. So this is a good job by them to be where they are right now. You can debate whether they should be in the field or not. But, all that said, I think I just don't think this is a great team. And they didn't play well on the stretch. And I like the Hoosiers.
Now, Florida State, like Florida, was in the College World Series last year. And the Seminoles they just had a better year. They had a better year this year than Florida did, and they lost just as much, if not, you know, maybe not as much in terms of pro stuff, but they lost quite a bit, Aaron. And this is, again, just a masterful job by last year's College Coach of the Year, Mike Martin, and his staff. I think he's got one of the best staffs in college baseball as junior has matured. Mike Martin Jr. has really just, in the last 5-6 years, just a litany of things that he has done as an assistant coach there that have just been outstanding, from moving Buster Posey behind the plate, mm-hmm. and working with him there to the development of a lot of their players, to the recruiting they've done, and then Mike Bell coming in as a pitching coach, and now they have a legit number one starter in Luke Weaver.
Right.
This is a pretty doggone good Florida State team. At the same time, they got a tough 1-4 matchup with Savannah State and Kyle McGowan.
That's right. Kyle McGowan is a power arm. He's 11-1 this year. He was a horse in the MEAC tournament, and unfortunately, that was 2 weeks ago, so he got lots of time to rest up for this game.
He needed it.
Yeah, he did. He did. But, you know, this is an interesting matchup for sure. I don't know what Florida State's going to do in the mound. I haven't asked those guys yet, but I wonder. I mean, the thing about Florida State is they've got three good starters. I love their weekend rotation. You know, with, like you said, Weaver, this is a big difference. They haven't had a guy like Weaver at the top of their rotation in a while.
They really haven't. They really haven't had. I mean, this is a team, hey, we're talking about Carson Whitson and Keenan Kish going out for Florida. Hey, Florida State had, what's the sophomore's name? Well, he was hurt this year. Compton?
Yeah, Mike Compton, right.
Mike Compton was their number two starter all of last year, missed the whole season. They had their own injuries and their own guys.
Gonzalez,
that had their
place. Of course. Yeah, Justin Gonzalez.
Gonzalez. Exactly. I mean, like the one piece you had in the infield, your returning senior shortstop, and you lose him. Plus, you know, Florida lost James. Florida lost Mike Zunino. They lost James Ramsey. I mean, it was. I just think this is one of the. You know, this is an amazing job by the Florida State coaching staff to get this team not just back to, you know, their 34th straight appearance. But a number 7 national seed, it's really impressive.
It is. And you know, their offense has come on. I mean, it has. You know, DJ Stewart and Marcus Davis, those guys did wind up giving them the offensive production they needed. Those are two newcomers they were counting on to step into that void. And they had little ups and downs, and you know, they've been good. I wonder, you know, the defense is an issue with this team. I mean, Jose Brizuela got 21 errors. He's fielding .856 at third base.
Right. And he got sent home. He violated team rules and got sent home in the ACC tournament. Not a great way to end his regular season.
Could be some chemistry issues under the surface there, which is weird because you watch these guys on TV and all the mustaches. They seem like a great, you know, very tight-knit group. But see, there could be something
Gage
going on.
I believe Gage Smith shaved his stash, which surprised me. I could be wrong, but I saw him clean-shaven. And Florida State's going to send Scott Seitz out of the mound, who's certainly the head of the mustache brigade there and certainly a very good college pitcher on his own. So they're not sending Weaver out against McGowan.
And, you know, Seitz has pitched in – that guy shined in Omaha. You know, that to me is loud. What he did last year in the College World Series, this guy is a big-game pitcher. I mean, you know, 9-1, 173.
Yeah.
You know, you're not sleeping on McGowan here. Maybe that's just the guy they trust the most. I mean, it could be.
That's very possible, and they got a nice return. We'll see how the health of Josh Delph He had a case of what, meningitis, I believe it was, this second half of the spring. And, you know, that's a pretty scary deal he had to deal with. I think he had a pinch hit single during the ACC tournament. I'm not sure what his status will be for this weekend, but they could certainly use him back, a guy who has a tremendous plate approach. And Aaron, Jameis Winston, I know he's not a great player right now, but he is just a lot of fun to watch. I'm not sure if you saw the throw he made during the ACC tournament to the plate to hose a guy, but up to 96, 97 off the mound. He's the only guy I can ever remember who's a switch hitter, two-sport guy, and pitches and hits.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. He is just an unbelievable athlete who makes things look a little easy. I think there's a long way to go for him with his hitting approach. But guess what? They're pretty good at teaching approaches at Florida State.
Yeah.
So it's a little shocking to see that he hasn't hit a home run yet. But again, I think that just is a testament to how kind of raw he is. But he's worth the price of admission. Very fun guy to watch.
Yes.
Troy in Alabama, also in this regional, Aaron, just a great sign for the rebuilding efforts at the University of Alabama, where Mitch Gaspard has put together, again, a nice coaching staff of alumni guys who are Alabama guys, and Dax Norris and Andy Phillips. Phillips, an ex-big leaguer. Dax Norris, former Durham Bull, had a long pro career himself. Dax, in my mind, Dax got a pretty good eye for talent, and this program seems like it's finally on the way back.
You know, and they've done a good job. They've been grinding it out last couple of years. What, they were in a regional, what, 2 years ago? Was it last year?
I think it was, last year, but I can't remember.
I know they were definitely, 08, 09, 10, 11, they were in regionals all those years. I think they missed last year. They did. They were bad last year.
Okay. I knew one of those years they were pretty bad.
But you know, they've been grinding it out. I mean, and this team, it was young, and you know, we talked about how much we loved their recruiting class. Mikey White wound up leading that team in hitting, and he struggled for a lot of the season.
He wound up second team. He beat out Adam Frazier for second team All SEC shortstop.
Is that right? No, that's right.
Now I think that was a bad move. I think that was the wrong call. But
there's always some real head scratchers in some of those votes, aren't there? And for whatever reason, the SEC in particular, there's always some that are just like, huh?
Yeah, Alex Bregman was the first-team shortstop, and then Mikey Reynolds at A&M and Mikey White were the tied for the second-team choices, and Adam Frazier left out, which was interesting.
There's a Mikey bias in that league.
They are biased. But this is also a team where they were relying on Wade Waz to be like their middle-of-the-order guy and their catcher. He gets hurt, and Brett Booth steps in and kind of gives them exactly what – I was told they were going to expect from Wade Waz. And he really – I had a couple scouts who really liked Brett Booth. He threw out 36 out of 77 opposing base stealers, tied for the team lead with six home runs. Georgie Salem's a decent little – this is a decent little team. I shouldn't say little. But it's a decent team. And I think Scrappy, with some young talent, is going to be a dangerous team in a year or two.
Yeah, and I like their young arms a lot. And obviously they've got a couple of veteran guys, Charlie Sullivan, kind of that workhorse guy for him, and Spencer Turnbull's got a very good arm. We know that Ray Castillo's got a really good arm, the back of the bullpen guy. I mean, those are kind of the key pieces, but they've got some depth around those guys too, some arms that you like here. I like this team. I mean, I don't think they're going to win this regional, but I like them.
I don't think they're going to win this regional either, but I like them as well. And then you have Troy, and then again, another well-coached, good staff, veteran staff, and a team that was part of a very competitive Sun Belt league and was right in the mix to the very end in that league and wins 40 games again. Kind of what are the highlights for this Troy ball club?
Well, first of all, you got some real offense here. I mean, Danny Collins, of course, is a guy that got off to a torrid start to the season, cooled down a little bit, but still ended up having a really good year. Guy can hit. He's been a productive player his whole career there. Logan Pierce, really good offensive player, ended up leading him in hitting. Trey Santos as well. I mean, real power potential there. This is an offensive team that can go into that ballpark and put up some runs. This is, I think, a pretty good draw for Troy. I think it's a good place to get sent. Because it's an offensive park,
right?
And these guys can drive the ball out. And on the mound, they're not bad either. I mean, it's probably certainly behind Florida State, obviously, and probably behind Alabama on the mound. But they got some pieces here. I mean, Tanner Hicks, Shane McClain, guys that go out there and give them a real chance to win. I mean, they keep them in the ball game. So I don't know. I think I think Troy, to me, feels like the number two team in this regional.
I think I'm with you, Aaron. That's what I was just getting ready to go to, is it just feels like this is a team that, you know, they've got a veteran left-hander and Source. Is it Source or Sourcey?
Sourcey, right.
Sourcey's been there a while. He's pitched in regionals. He's pitched big games. I know he hasn't had a great year this year. But they seem like they just have a nice – they've always done a nice job, it feels like, of missing bats, whether it's guys with low slots, high slots.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you. I think Troy is, you know, I just think, you know, Bobby Pierce done a great job over there. Mark Smart, they've had the same staff in place for a long time there, and that's another reason why they're so consistent. So I still think Florida State's the favorite here. I know they finished poorly.
Yes.
Just don't see them going out like 2-6 in their last eight games.
No way. Way Florida State loses this regional. I just that's right. I said it. I'm going out there. Florida State will advance.
I think they overachieved a little bit this year, Florida State, but that doesn't mean they can't win this regional. I think they will, but I'm getting ahead of myself. I think Indiana is going to win that regional. Florida State will win that regional, and the Hoosiers are going to go to Omaha via Tallahassee. That's my call. That's my bold, fresh prediction, if I can quote Bill O'Reilly. Maybe I shouldn't do that. Let's move on to Charlottesville, Aaron, to the land of Thomas Jefferson. The Cavaliers talk about a team ahead of schedule. The Cavaliers ahead of schedule this year with a very young ball club. The number one seed, UNC by the sea, UNC Wilmington number two, Elon number three, Army number four. What are the Fighting Joe Sotolanos have for us this year, Aaron?
Well, it's still got Chris Rowley, you know, the guy who's been around forever, senior right-hander, won a ton of games in his career.
He re-enlisted, it sounds like, for another four years. Hey, Army joke of the day.
Army joke. You know, this guy is good, and he's not a big stuff guy. He's a pitchability guy, a bulldog. But it's not an easy draw in your 1-4 game, I think. And, you know, this team is they were young last year, I think, positionally, and a lot of those guys are now sophomores. They played a lot of freshmen last year, and they've matured now, and they've got some athleticism. You know, Harold Earls and, you know, Alex Jensen, these guys are good players. I think they're, you know, they're a frisky little 4 seed, for sure.
Frisky 4 seed, I like that as well. That's a great name. We should patent that. That should be a hashtag, frisky 4 seed. Is it a frisky 2 and 3 seed? UNC Wilmington feels like they were really just did not end the season on a great note. They weren't playing their best at the end of the year. Meanwhile,
right.
Elon was, Aaron, and Elon has, and Ryan Kinsella, one of the top power hitters in the country. I think he's second in the country in home runs.
Yes, he is. He's only 11 home runs behind Chris Bryant. He's second. I don't say that to be flippant. I mean, but it just shows you how incredible Chris Bryant is. But Kinsella has had a big year. He's and this is a team, Elon, that typically has hit a lot of home runs, but you know, nobody else on their team has more than 4, and Kinsella's got 20. So I mean, it's not like those numbers are inflated here. I mean, he's special. And you know, this team is, boy, they're well coached. I mean, you talk about one
right.
of the best mid-major coaches out there, one of the best coaches out there, period. I think Mike
exactly.
Kennedy. I mean, he's been on the Team USA staff. He's clearly very respected by his peers. And you know, these guys compete even when they have a down year. Like they, you know, this year they weren't the best team in the SoCon. I mean, it was Western Carolina. But you know, they still always compete and always have a chance. It feels like once they get to that conference tournament to make a run.
Yeah, they just. I think that you said it very well, man. And they do have usually much more offensive teams than they had
mm-hmm.
this year. And this year they kind of had the one dude, and it's weird. It's kind of weird to see.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even a great pitching team. I think we kind of saw early it wasn't a typical Elon team when they had that couple of really ugly games with NC State. It does feel that, like, Virginia is a pretty prohibitive favorite here. I mean, I feel like UNC Wilmington probably should have been a 3 this year, and Elon a 4. Just feels like those teams are not really strong 2 and 3 seeds, and that Virginia got I'm not saying they got a break, but they feel like there's not a real strong contender to beat them in this regional.
I think that's probably true, and I like this Wilmington team, and I think they're a legitimate 2 seed. But I mean, certainly from the RPI standpoint, and I think their talent is pretty good. Actually, you know, I think they've got some depth on the mound. Really like their bullpen, the way that they can throw different looks at you. You know, high slot guys, low slot guys, from the right side, left side. With Kelly Seacrest just gets outs back there. Seacrest outs, if you will.
That's how I like it. I like that, and they have a nice look by Justin. A nice story in Justin Livingood, a guy I think took a year or two off.
Yeah.
For baseball, he's like, I think a 23-year-old junior, up to 96 at times this year, getting some pretty good scouting looks. The opposite of CAA Pitcher of the Year, Matt Batts, who was I had been talking to a scout about him the other day. He said he was basically a Nolan Belcher type, which I don't think was meant as a compliment from a scout's perspective. But Matt Batts, your CAA Pitcher of the Year this year, 9-3, 307. In the last 2 years, he's basically got a strikeout per inning. He's been pretty doggone good.
Yep.
That said, Virginia is Virginia. This is that's a pretty doggone good offense. And if they have Brandon Cogswell back as a key cog, a Cogswell cog, if you will.
Oh, no.
Back in their lineup. I think the sky's the limit for this Virginia team. Athleticism. The one thing I'm curious about with Virginia is their pitching depth.
Mm-hmm.
How deep do they trust guys in their bullpen? Feel that they have pitching depth if they want it, but I know that their bullpen, again, my only look at them was really against North Carolina, and their bullpen, which had been lights out all year, was very susceptible in the two games I saw. So.
Yeah, and to me it feels like they're a team that's kind of like North Carolina State where on the mound, where they don't have great starting pitching, but they can cover it with their bullpen depth. And I don't know. I guess that formula works, but it's weird. I mean, I feel like I'd like to have some guys that can go six or seven innings and, you know, really get me deep into the ballgame and then hand off to my bullpen. I feel like this puts a lot of strain. I think maybe that's why the bullpen maybe was a little more vulnerable at the end of the year, is because they've had to shoulder more of a load.
I think you're right. Getting Whit Mayberry back and closer to form might be a real key for Virginia, because Whit Mayberry threw well in the last game of that North Carolina series. He's a veteran. He's got some regional experience. He's a right-hander, which I think helps balance them out a little bit. And to me, the less you have to play, the less you have to pitch Nick Howard as a starter, and then you can deploy him as another right-hander in your bullpen to put Nick Howard together with Josh Spores, and then you have the left-handers Rosenberger and Crockett. Then you've got a nice foursome in the bullpen. You can extend one day, and then you have another one for the next day. That would be key. So if Mayberry, Silverstein, and Waddell can hold down the rotation, I think Virginia has a real chance to get to Omaha. They have a real chance to get to Omaha anyway. I think that's the formula they're going to have to follow, and it certainly will help if they get Cogswell back from that broken finger. And I will say again, I lament the fact that Joe McCarthy's parents decided to name him Joe. I mean, Joe as a first name for McCarthy has kind of been ruined in this country.
That's true.
For a long time, or it should have been. But it hasn't been. You picking the Cavaliers, Aaron? I think that's a pretty lopsided regional.
I think so too, and like I said, I do like this Wilmington team, but I don't think they can contain Virginia's offense. I mean, you know, I will say that I don't know what Wilmington's going to do on the mound, but you know, Jordan Ramsey's got a really good arm, their sophomore right-hander. He could keep UVA in check, but ultimately, I just think, you know, UVA is going to find a way to score runs. They're just too good offensively. I love that offense, and I think they win that regional.
I also heart that offense. So. Now we go from one of the more lopsided regionals to one of the more competitive regionals, if not the most competitive regional, Aaron. That's the Starkville regional. Mississippi State is the one seed, South Alabama the two, Mercer the three, Central Arkansas the four. As we talked about on Monday, we thought a couple of these teams in here were underseeded, and there's not really a true four seed. Although at the same time, I remember I was listening to the podcast. I don't usually do that, but I was listening to it the other day. And, you know, Central Arkansas really does kind of – they were the seventh-place team in the Southland Conference, right?
They were 12-15 in the Southland.
So they probably really are a four. So.
I mean, it's just from an RPI standpoint. It's just a relativity standpoint. If Towson's a three, it doesn't make sense for Central Arkansas to be a four.
That's it. It's great. You're saving me. You're getting me fired back up again for them being underranked. But how much do you think – Central Arkansas, the fact that they went to Mississippi State and won that series in Starkville already, how much does that help them going into this weekend?
I guess a little bit. I mean, you know, it gives them a little confidence that, hey, we can go toe-to-toe with this team at their place. But, you know, Mississippi State is not going to be caught off guard by Central Arkansas this time around. I don't know if that's what happened last time or what, but you know they're going to be ready, and they're probably going to be looking to dish out some payback here too. So maybe in that respect, they could work against Central Arkansas. But you know, I mean, this clearly the Bears are they're a good club. They're very well coached. They compete up and down the lineup. They only have one guy in the lineup that really. You know, I mean, Forrest Allday is a darn good hitter. That guy.
He's had a really nice college career.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's just, hey, I even know some scouts who think this guy, you know, he's going to hit. I mean, he's just one of those guys that has a knack for putting the bat in the ball, and he walks a ton more than he strikes. 49 walks, 18 strikeouts.
That's an amazing stat line. Yeah, I was talking to a scout about him last week in Arkansas and who has Arkansas coverage, and those are hard to find, let me tell you. But he said that, you know, out of all the small college, quote-unquote, players in that state, Allday is the one who's most interesting because of that field of hit.
Yep.
And they do have a guy in Biggerstaff who already beat through a complete game. So it'll be interesting to see how they play their pitching because Caleb McClanahan has had a great year. Again, he's like the anti-Forrest Allday. He doesn't walk anybody. But we'll see. I think that gives Central Arkansas some advantage compared to the average 4C, but like you said, Mississippi State should be the last thing they'll do is overlook their four seed. I'm curious to see how they handle their pitching because their rotation has been unsettled pretty much all year.
Mm-hmm. It has been, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess they wound up settling in for a while there with you know, Poyer, Rana, and Graveman, and I guess Lindgren is the three. But I mean, it does feel like it's been a little up and down for sure.
South Alabama and Mercer. South Alabama, another team that kind of builds it from the bullpen forward. It sounds like. And then Mercer, I mean, these are, especially Mercer, that's a really offensive club. That's the identity of their program. And this is an older club, Aaron. A lot of juniors and seniors and fifth-year type seniors on this Mercer roster.
You're right. Yeah, it is an older club. And, you know, really like Derek Workman, you know, Nick Backlund. Those guys are good players. Those guys are difference makers here. I mean, you know, Backlund, just a big old physical guy, can hit the ball out of the park. And Workman's an athlete that can also hit the ball out of the park. You know, those guys are good. And that's really the strength of this team for me, is those guys in the middle of the lineup. But, I mean, they are older. I mean, they're experienced up and down the lineup.
I'm trying to figure out where does their – ridiculous RPI come from. Not ridiculous bad, just that it's very high, but I don't see where that comes from. Because like you said, if their RPI is so high because they won the regular season in the Atlantic Sun, that it would seem like the Atlantic Sun's RPI should be higher than the 17th rated conference, but their non-conference are like, played Georgia once, Georgia Southern, Miami of Ohio, Bethune. Yeah, they played Georgia Tech once. Ohio State, St. John's, Notre Dame. It's not a – correct me if I'm wrong. It's not. I don't see how they're 29.
It's a little weird. It's a little weird. I mean, they played, you know, 31 games against teams in the 101 to 200 range, and then another 12 against teams outside the top 200. It's just, I guess, the moral of the story is if you can play teams in the middle, you'll be okay if you win a lot of games. Just don't play teams at the back.
I guess so. That's it. Don't play teams
at
the back.
Which I don't like. I mean,
I'm
more impressed with a team that beats a bunch of high-end teams, even if it plays a couple of games against low-end teams, Arkansas, than I am with a team that's just, okay, we're good enough to beat up a bunch of middle teams. That's just my opinion.
It's not just your opinion. It's my opinion as well. I share that opinion, and I'm with you. And, of course, I have a soft spot for Mercer. Can you figure out why?
Because of former BA intern Brian Shimolewski.
I think I just blew up the microphone. No, because their top relief pitcher is a Greek-American, Dimitri Kourtis.
Of course.
Opa, Dimitri, make us look good and pencil yourself in for the 2017 World Baseball Classic. I'm picking Mississippi State in this regional, Aaron. I'm tempted to pick South Alabama, though. Outside of Hunter Renfrow, I think South Alabama has the single best player in this regional in Jordan Patterson.
Yeah, you're right. And obviously Renfrow's really cooled down here. I noticed you didn't mention that when we were talking about the Bulldogs.
No, I figured I'd let you do it.
You know, I mean, I will say this. Mississippi State, all of a sudden, they didn't get any good starting pitching in the SEC tournament. They won three games,
right.
But it wasn't because they got deep starting pitching. I mean, you know, they're like Virginia, another team that just relies more on its bullpen than its starters. But, you know, the fact that Renfro's cooled down makes them a little less intimidating, I think. It's not like this team is peaking and playing its best baseball right now. It isn't. And you're right, South Alabama. I mean, Jordan Patterson. They're not playing their best baseball either. I mean, they, you know,
you're right.
They lost the last regular season series. And they, you know, did not win the conference tournament. But you know, they're a good club. I mean, they're Jordan Patterson, the really good two-way guy. He can really hit, and he's a, you know, got a good stuff on the left side off the mound. He kind of like their Clinton Freeman, not as offensive. You know, the pitching. I like.
They build it from the bullpen forward again, Aaron.
That's it. That's another one.
You got Barch out of the bullpen, who's been really good, and Stamey, exactly. Stamey's got all kinds of swing and misses on his breaking ball and the changeup. And
his fastball, too. His fastball moves a lot, and he's got velocity. So, I mean, it's there's a bunch of teams here that are really bullpen. And I guess Central Arkansas, you know, and Mercer, I suppose, those are the teams that are more built from the front of their staff. So these other teams are built from the back.
It's a very flat regional field. There's not a lot of difference. I would say the biggest difference is Mississippi State has a lot more pitching depth than the other two teams do, and they have Renfro, who is a separator in terms of his power, if he's on. Feels like Hunter is going to have to be on, but I'm not going to pick against Hunter Renfro. So I'm picking the Bulldogs here. Are you picking somebody else? No, you're picking the Bulldogs.
I'm picking the Bulldogs too. You know, I still do really like this team and its depth and experience, and
book
I think that stuff that matters.
They're going Omaha, right. Book it, right?
I did say that a while ago. We haven't gotten our Omaha picks yet, but they're going to win their regional.
I think they're going to win their regional as well. We're wrapping up the podcast. Two more regionals to go, Aaron. We've made good time. Not great time, but good time. The Manhattan regional. Oh, how awesome it would be to have a regional in Manhattan and New York City. We'll settle for Manhattan and Kansas. Kansas State, the one. Arkansas, the two. Bryant, three. Wichita State, the four. Aaron, this is a wide-open regional as well. I think it's completely wide open. I think the biggest reason, first off, I think Kansas State earned being a regional host. I'm extremely excited for that staff and that program and just with the way they grind it out. But second of all, they still don't have great starting pitching or great pitching, period. To me, just makes it really wide open because all these teams have some pretty obvious flaws, don't they?
They do, yeah. And in Kansas State's case, you hit it on the head. The pitching is not great. I mean, they're a very good offensive team, and they can score runs and, you know, up and down the lineup. I mean, almost everybody in the lineup is hitting over 300. And I think Mitch Myers, their lowest regular, is hitting 289, you know. So there's other teams that have, you know, like Miami maybe has one guy hitting 289. You know, I mean,
they barely do. Chance Mack.
Right. So, I mean, this is a very good offensive team.
All session tickets for the Manhattan Regional sold out as you go to the team website there. So, I mean, like, just awesome. Go K-State.
Arkansas, of course, best, you know, team ERA in the nation. Incredibly deep pitching staff. Quality arms all over the place. Offense is disappointing. I mean, they're hitting 260. They don't score a lot of runs, and they don't defend very well. You know, if it's, I don't know. I mean,
other than that, their position players are great.
Exactly. I mean, it's been a disappointing year for those guys. You know, it has been. They haven't done it.
And yet, they're kind of in the same position they were in last year as far as an underwhelming regular season. And they made a run to Omaha last year, and they were 2-0 on their bracket before losing twice to South Carolina. Do they have that kind of a run in them again?
They could. I think they're going to win this regional. I'm going to pick the Hogs. So, you know.
I don't think
they can get by Oregon State, but to give away my next pick. But I mean, I think they can win this regional because I do really love their pitching, and you know, Bryant has good arms too. I mean, that's the thing that stands out about Bryant is you know, this is the deepest staff they've had there. You know, I think they said they've got like nine guys that can hit 90 miles an hour or something like that. I mean, they had a bunch of scouts going to their games this year, which they hadn't had before. You know, they got a really good closer with Sal Asante. You know, he's had a fantastic year for them. I like their staff a lot, and you know, offensively they're probably better than Arkansas is. I mean, they don't have the big names, but you know, they performed and they grinded out. You know, I've said that a lot, grind it out. But I guess that's what you have to do to succeed in college baseball these days. It's just, you know, get on base any way you can.
That's it. If you don't have that power, that's the way you have to get some offense, is to, you know, is to grind it out. And that just means good at bats, don't give things away, maximize your opportunities. I mean, you wrote about Bryant in April, Aaron, in a streak and blog, back when we still had blogs. So this is a program that, you know, has had some upheaval with Jamie, what's his last name, Pinzino?
Pinzino, right.
Pinzino, now William & Mary. So you got two parts of the Bryant tree. There certainly is no top-end draft guy here like Stony Brook had last year with Travis Jankowski. And there's no Willie Carmona. But is this is the Northeast's best bet to be a Stony Brook, is it not? This is the best team in the Northeast, and they have a winnable regional here. Do you think that – what are the chances, what percent would you give Bryant for his chances of winning this regional? I'm tempted to pick Bryant.
Pick Bryant. Go ahead, John. Pick him.
I'm telling you, my whole prep for this was reading that Streakin' blog, and it just sounds like a pretty interesting team. And not a team that should be overwhelmed by this caliber of competition. They played a strong schedule. That's why their RPI is what it is. They played at Oregon State. Obviously, they lost all four games, but they didn't get rolled until the last game. You know, they played Ohio State. They won a game at Ohio State. This seems like a pretty solid ball club. I think I am picking Bryant, Aaron. I'm picking Bryant to win this regional. I talked myself into it. Am I crazy for doing
that? I love that. But I just think that, you know, as good as Bryant is, I mean, well, you know, you're right. I mean, they faced those caliber arms in that trip to Corvallis. I mean, that's the comparable pitching staff.
I guess my thing is, I really don't see Arkansas repeating last year's run. I just don't think you could be that casual about it. And, you know, honestly, again, I think Arkansas earned a number one seed and should have been a regional host over South Carolina. We've covered that ground.
Right.
I don't know if being sent to Kansas State instead is going to be good for them. You know, how are they going to play great away from the bright lights and the which is what they have in their ballpark at Baum Stadium? I'm skeptical. I have to say I'm skeptical of this Arkansas ball club. I'm going to pick Bryant, and maybe I'm crazy. I think I am crazy. But I think I'm going to pick Bryant. I mean, I would feel better about it if they'd run away and hid in their league a little bit more, but I guess they did win their league by four games. So,
yeah, and, you know, it's also their first time in a regional, which is always something to think about.
Great point.
But, you know, but they did – they showed character last week when they lost their – I think their opener – was it their opener or their second game in the conference tournament, and they rallied through the loser's bracket, and that was impressive.
It was the opener. It was the Blackbirds of LIU Brooklyn.
That's right. Justin Topa shut them down.
That's it. Nice.
But – you know, hey, that's I like that pick, John. But I'm taking Arkansas. I just think that it's a big time program loaded with Omaha veterans and tons of talent. And I think that wins out.
2.63 ERA. I like that. That I know that's not Arkansas caliber, but I think I'm going to take Bryant. I had to pick. I've gone a lot of chalk, but you know, Alpha last year to me, if there's a northern team that has a chance to go on the road and win a regional, it's Bryant.
I think it's Seton Hall, but
I got screwed on both pirates this year.
That's a team that could have won a regional.
They absolutely are. Didn't they win a game? Was it 2 years ago? The last couple of years, it seems like they won games in regionals. So.
Well, no, they only went to one. It was at College Station in what 2011 or 2010, whatever it was. And John Pruszynski shut out Arizona in that game.
That's what I remember. They shut out Arizona, but that didn't happen last year. I should have known. That didn't happen. Nobody shut out Arizona last year.
It was 2011.
Finally, thank you, Aaron. Finally, to Corvallis. If I were a better editor of podcasts, I would drop in a little Mitch Canham right now. We still ballin'. But I'm not, so I'm not going to do that. The O-State Ballers, the one seed. The Texas A&M Aggies, the number two seed. UC Santa Barbara, number three. UT San Antonio, number four. Aaron, Oregon State got a pretty great draw here. A&M is a two, a team that was a borderline case to get in. Should have been a three seed, no matter what. And then UC Santa Barbara, almost literally the last team in. I know they didn't say that, but as you're watching the whole scroll, they're the last team that came in on the TV show, and they're sitting there watching it, and the Gauchos had no idea they were in or not. RPI number 57. Are they the lowest at-large RPI in the field?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's probably the lowest in a long time. I can't ever think of an RPI team at 57 that got an at-large bid. That's cool. I think it's cool, but it's a big deal, I think.
I agree. And the point is, this seems like it's Oregon State's regional to run away with.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, I think they're – well, Oregon State, as we've said all year long, they're elite. They're complete. And, you know, they play well down the stretch. They're offensive. They pitch. They defend. They're the real deal. And all these other teams have holes. And I think A&M, you know, did play better at the end of the year when they got Mikey Reynolds back to full strength, you know, and he's a great player. He's dynamic. He sets really the straw that stirs the drink with the Yankees. You know, and Daniel Mengden is the guy that can beat anybody. I mean, he's really good.
It's a big time arm. They have a couple of big time arms.
They do. You know, Jason Jester at the back of the bullpen, big time arm. You know, and they got some young guys in the middle in between there, you know, with AJ Minter and Grayson Long, that have good arms, and you know, Pineda wound up having a pretty decent year for him. They got pitching and they defend okay, and you know, they're athletic and they push the action. They have a lot of speed, but I think they're short on offense, and I don't trust their arms as much. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they go out there and play well this week, because they're probably playing with house money a little bit, and they're probably feeling like they got a chip on their shoulder a little bit because people like us have been ragging on them. They'll probably go out there and play well, but I think Oregon State wins that regional.
I think you're probably right. I think they probably will go out there and play well because they are a well-coached team. It's a good program. They know what they're doing. Those guys know what they're doing. To me, the other issue for these guys is, you know, they're not going to a park that is a power park, and they don't have a lot of power. So that should be interesting. It should be a decent fit for A&M.
Yep.
UC Santa Barbara, I guess that's a good thing. They weren't sent to Oregon in a way. Andrew Cheekis was an assistant coach at Oregon. But he played at Oregon State, so that's a pretty good homecoming for Andrew Cheekis here, the head coach, second-year head coach at UC Santa Barbara.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's one we hadn't pointed out. You know, these guys are again, very well coached. I mean, this is like that Josh Holliday thing we talked about, just a young coach that everyone said was a can't-miss guy that has gotten his team to regionals here a little ahead of schedule. You know, these guys have some interesting talent. I mean, you know, certainly they're a good defensive team. You know, standout guys at shortstop with Brandon Trinquan, who's really smooth defender. He doesn't have a huge arm, but he's got enough arm and really makes the plays. And Tyler Carace at first base is a really good defensive first baseman. You know, Woody Woodward at second. You know,
it's a good looking infield.
Yeah, they have a good infield. They've got you know, a power arm young closer at the back with Dylan Hecht. Austin Pettibone will compete. You know, they're number one guy on the mound, kind of 87, 89 guy, you know, decent changeup, you know, big slow curve, kind of gives him a chance. And then Greg Molly, the lefty, really competes his butt off, as we know, former two-way guy that's been kind of banged up this year, but he's just done a good job.
Freshman All-American last year, was he not?
He was in the mix. I don't know if we ended up going with him or not. We might have. I think we might have. But they got some nice pieces here, but I think they're probably overmatched in this regional.
But just, you know, for a team with this kind of, with a young, a lot of freshmen, highly regarded recruiting class, a guy like Carreza, who's been kind of well traveled, didn't start his career there. Did he start at Oregon State?
He was started at Oregon.
Okay, Oregon. He followed Andrew Cheekis.
Cheekis recruited him up there.
So just kind of a neat deal for UC Santa Barbara and to get there, and it guarantees you a little bit extra airtime nationally because Jim Rome is a Gaucho alum and loves to talk about the Gauchos on his radio show. So
I'm sure he's going to be talking about Gaucho baseball all the time on his show now.
Taking a dose. I love it when he talks about guys taking a dose. Wear it. I'll never. My all-time favorite Jim Rome was when Carlos Quentin got hit by a pitch five times in 2000, whatever it was, at Florida State. I think it was 2002. He took a dose five times, single game record, and Jim Rohn spent the entire day that Monday screaming, wear it, and take a dose, and all that. Just at just sort of random times, he'd be in the middle of some conversation, and then he'd just yell, wear it, and it was awesome. That was the first time I think I ever really was widely exposed to Jim Rohn besides the Jim Everett ridiculous fiasco. But when he did that, he certainly endeared himself to me And it hasn't worn off, even though I don't ever listen to his show anymore. So I credit his Gaucho fandom. Aaron, the last thing of the podcast is that UT San Antonio has a Rocket on it still. So that gives me a point of entry. They've had a player named Rocket, it seems like, for the last 8 years at UT San Antonio.
Yeah, and, you know, this guy's a good player. He's in the BA 500. He's got a little bit of power, some length in the swing, but he's got some juice. And, you know, he's had a little off-the-field thing this year, but he's, I guess that's not a big deal. He's back. And, you know, this team is, I don't know. I mean, they were kind of a middle-of-the-pack whack team. That got hot at the right time, and nothing here really stands out to me too much. I'll be honest with you. I think they're probably one of the weaker four seeds.
Well, I guess the neat story is we have Oregon State alum Andrew Checkets coaching UC Santa Barbara, bringing his team to his alma mater, and now you have UT San Antonio first-year head coach Jason Marshall, who was a Texas A&M alum. And
good
so
call.
If they face Texas A&M, I didn't know that either, but you stumble upon some things in the midst of the podcast. And Josh Marshall's an A&M alum. So we have some alumni ties. I don't know if they knew that when they put this regional together, but there's some alumni ties. It just feels, again, like to me, it's really hard to differentiate sometimes the UT San Antonios from the UT Arlingtons from the UT this or that or the other. Some of those other the down-ballot schools in Texas can run together for me when I don't follow it. And all I know is the state of Texas was down this year, so I'm not expecting great things out of UT San Antonio in this regional, but kudos to Coach Marshall for in his first year as a head coach, getting his team to regionals and getting them to play their best the most important week of the season in the conference tournament. So I'm picking the Beavs. You are picking the Beavs as well, right?
I am, and you know I will say that the you know, this UTSA team, they can swing the bats a little bit. You know, they're hitting over 300. They got some power in there. You know, they're the most offensive team probably in this regional. So you know, granted, I'm sure that they haven't played the same caliber of competition in the WAC, but you know they can put up some runs, and so they could be a factor here. But I think the Beavers take this regional. Yes,
Aaron, just hearing us talk about all these regionals, it feels like we think there are five, maybe six, really elite teams in the country. And that top six has been that top six forever.
Yep.
Are you with me? That's the elite. There's that top six. And if a team outside the top six wins the College World Series, I think we'd both be surprised. Is that correct?
I think that's fair.
What's your left bracket pick? Your left side of the bracket, North Carolina, South Carolina, NC State / Ole Miss or Oregon. I guess you pick New Mexico and Cal Poly. I picked Fullerton and UCLA, Oklahoma, LSU. Who's your pick on that side of the bracket?
Well, my Omaha teams are
finals.
My Omaha teams are North Carolina, Oregon, New Mexico, and LSU.
I love it. I've got North Carolina, NC State, Cal State Fullerton, and LSU. I went fairly chalk over there.
Yeah, those are all four national seeds, right? So,
well, not NC
so.
State. Not NC State.
Oh, right. The team that should have been a national seed.
Right. And I'm picking LSU on that side of the bracket.
Mm-hmm.
I think that their motivation from last year is palpable. I'm a little worried, like I said, talking about their bracket, about Bregman and Cotton. But they do have depth. I think Aaron Nola is as big game a pitcher as there is in the country. I have a hard time not picking North Carolina. They've been so consistent and so good. And I'll plug here. I am doing their entire regional. I think I've plugged that a few times. I'm plugging it again. So, you know, I think very highly of North Carolina's team this year. I don't think they have a great weakness. I just think there's a little tiny bit more upside with LSU, I got to say. I think there's a little bit more upside there. I'm picking the Tigers to win that bracket. If I'm ranking those teams, I'd go LSU, North Carolina, Fullerton, NC State.
Yeah.
Who are you picking on that side of the bracket? Your teams are North Carolina, Oregon, New Mexico, LSU.
Yeah. You know, I've got North Carolina and LSU both written down here. I have those as my final two, my final four teams on that side. It's just hard. It's hard to break those teams down. I mean, I think
let's put it this way. If North Carolina, as a national number one seed, is going to win this side of the bracket, they've got some work to do because they're going to have to beat two teams with significant Omaha history and significant now teams in LSU and Fullerton. That's a tough – I mean, if you're talking about top eight national seeds, they should all be tough right. breaks. But, I mean, it would feel less daunting in terms of the scope of college baseball history if the other teams on North Carolina's side of the bracket were Virginia and Vanderbilt.
Right.
Those are really great teams and great programs, but they're not Fullerton and LSU. I mean, there's a little bit – some of that heft matters to me.
And don't forget about South Carolina that they'll have to go through as well. And lest we forget.
See if you could be the first team since East Carolina to beat South Carolina in a series – in a series before Omaha in the postseason. And that the last time South Carolina lost before Omaha in the postseason? Not a game, but lost a regional or super regional, 2009?
Right, yeah. It's been – well, the last time they lost at home?
Last time they didn't win a regional.
I think it was 2009, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a long time since not winning a postseason series. So.
Yeah. So anyway, I've been procrastinating.
Yes.
I guess I got to pick a pick. Give me screw it. Give me flip a coin here. I mean, really, it's that close. I guess I'll take if you're taking LSU, I'll take North Carolina to be different.
All right, there you go. No. That's a good
everyone knows.
Decision.
Everyone knows I'm biased, right? So might as well just take them.
That's it. Well, I do think those teams are very close. I'll tell you what I'd love to see in Omaha. I don't know if this will ever happen because they're not going to play the first game. They would maybe play a second game. But a Kent Emanuel versus Aaron Nola matchup at TD Ameritrade, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. Right side of the bracket, Sissy, we both picked Vanderbilt. We both picked Louisville.
Yes.
We both picked Indiana, correct? Or did you pick Austin Peay?
No, Indiana.
Okay. We both picked Florida State. You both picked Virginia. We both picked Mississippi State. You picked Arkansas. I picked Bryant. And we both picked Oregon State. Yeah, that sounds ridiculous, but I'm doing it anyway. I do think a northern team is going to win a regional this year. Even though the north in general was a little bit down compared to last year, I just think once it's happened, I think it makes it easier for other teams to see that inspiration and go forward. So
maybe.
I'm picking Oregon State, though, to get to Omaha. I've got Virginia, I've got Indiana, and I've got Vanderbilt. But I think it's very close between Vanderbilt and Louisville. So I'm still picking the Commodores. And then on that side for me, my winner is the Beavers. Picking the Beavers. I'm very close to picking a Beavers versus Tar Heels Redux. I think it's very, very possible. But I'm going to pick Beavers versus Bayou Bengals versus the Tigers. And I'm picking the Beavers to win the whole thing, Fitzy.
All right. I'm going with Vanderbilt to get to Omaha. I'm going with Indiana.
State. You're picking Indiana as well? All right.
I like Indiana's team. And whatever, I'm taking
You've
Indiana.
You've seen a lot of them this year.
I have seen a lot of them. Let's see. I'll go with Mississippi State UVA is tough. That's the other one that I kind of left blank here that I need to make a pick on. I have Oregon State going to the College World Series in that bottom matchup there. And then
you need to put Mississippi State. You said bank on it a while ago.
Fine. Mississippi State.
If you hadn't written it down, I'm going to make your decision for you. So the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs go to Omaha. Are they just happy to be there and 2-Q?
I don't know about that, but Vanderbilt wins that side of the bracket, and Vanderbilt beats North Carolina for the championship.
So that's just funny because you're inverting your 2 and your 1 from the preseason. But we have seen a lot of this year, and I think it's fair to say that North Carolina's bullpen has not developed the way we thought it would, and Vanderbilt has developed even better than we thought it would. So
right.
That's not the only difference in those two teams. But so you've got Vanderbilt over North Carolina. I've got the Beavers over the Tigers. Well, it's been a lot of fun on the podcast, Aaron. 2.5 hours probably of podcast madness. We hope people enjoyed it. And look forward to a lot of people making those trips. Get your tickets, go out, support college baseball, and we hope that we help you enjoy it. So for Aaron Fitt, I'm John Manuel. We'll talk to you on the next week on the next Baseball America College podcast. Until then, so long, everybody.